We're starting a sermon series called Masterclass. You'll see ads for Masterclass all over the internet for all kinds of different things, public speaking, how to market your company. I saw one by Hans Zimmer on how to score a movie, if anybody needs to learn that. They're all taught by famous people that are really good at whatever they're teaching. And so I just thought, man, it'd be super cool to have a masterclass that's taught, not really by me or someone in this century, but someone that's teaching us from the first century. And so each week we're going to take some of the heroes of the faith of the first century. Some of them are obscure. You may not have heard of them a whole lot. And they're going to teach us a lot about discipleship, how to grow closer in your intimacy with Jesus Christ. So I'd love for you to take notes. And we're going to start today with a power couple. This is a power couple of the New Testament. Now, I know you've heard of Brangelina, right? Kanye and Kim. You've heard of A-Rod and J-Lo. Come on. These are power couples, right? None of them are together still. They are all separated, no longer couples. These were power couples supposedly because they had wealth and power and all this kind of stuff. But let me just tell you, the couple we're going to learn from today puts these three to shame. These are small fries. These are nothing compared to the absolute world-changing power of a couple named Priscilla and Aquila. Have you heard of them? Priscilla and Aquila. We'll call them Prisquilla. How about that? To have a power couple, you got to have a power name, right? So Prisquilla. No, that's a very lame attempt at something funny. But Priscilla and Aquila, well, you'll find them in six different places in four or five different books in the Bible. A big, big part of their story is found in Acts, the 18th chapter. And this is one of those obscure couples that a lot of people never even heard of them before. But when you read the book of Acts, you'll see them mentioned in chapter 18 three different times. And then you'll see them in the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians, and the book of Timothy, a letter written to Timothy from Paul. And this couple changed the world. That's a huge statement. It's literally what they did. And I want to share with you their secret today. This is what they would teach you if they were here in person on how they changed the world. We all want to be someone that's influential, living on purpose, living in with meaning in our relationship with God. So Priscilla and Aquila were from Rome. They were married. We're not sure if they had kids, but they're definitely married. They were definitely a couple. They were in Rome and they were Jewish. And so somewhere in the middle of that first century, around 40 AD, they were pushed out of Rome because Claudius, the emperor of Rome, said no Jews can live in Rome anymore. So one of the many episodes of Jewish discrimination, to say it mildly, they were pushed out of the town. They could not live in Rome any longer. So Priscilla and Aquila left, and they had to find a new home. They go across the sea to Greece and find a home in the town of Corinth, which is on the southern part of the Greece country, peninsula, whatever you want to call it there. Sort of that little lower island, the town of Corinth, which is where we get the letter, you know, Corinthians. You've heard of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. That came because it was a letter written to the church in Corinth. All right, so they relocated to this new town, and they started their own small business of tent making. They had Prisquilla Tent Incorporated. I like this section. Y'all are laughers over here. This is good. Come on, amen section. Prisquilla Tent Company, they made leather tents. Could have been for the Roman army. Could have been for private citizens that wanted a tent, you know, whoever. They made tents. And it's just, I want you to kind of wrap your head around this part of the story, being forced out of your town, forced out of your country. You have to go across the sea to this other location. And instead of just kind of like being, you know, a victim of that, they took advantage of this new opportunity and said, we're going to start a business. Small business owners. Well, as they're doing their business, someone comes in the door looking for a job. His name was Paul. Not any random Paul, but in fact, the Apostle Paul was looking for a job. So they hired him to make tents. And this is where the story, you know, would love. I love when the Bible gives us these little hints, drops these little hints at what is going on. You kind of have to read between the lines. And I'm believing when we get in heaven, we're going to be able to just sit in a theater and watch some of these things happen, you know, DVR, the heaven DVR. We're going to watch some of these things happen. And this is one of those things that I would love to see. What was the relationship between the Apostle Paul and Priscilla and Aquila? We know through inference that they were influenced by Paul and became believers in Jesus when they were working beside this amazing man. It's also amazing that the Apostle Paul worked a job and wanted to make money, not to build his own kingdom, but to build the kingdom of God. And then these business owners became very, very faithful followers of Jesus, and they kept their business. And they were ministers, and then a time came, months later, when Paul said, it's time for me to leave Corinth and continue his missionary travels, and he says, I'm going across the sea again over to modern-day Turkey and do some travels, and so he says, Priscilla and Aquila, why don't you guys come with me? So Priscilla and Aquila leave their tent-making business and their new home in Corinth, and hand all that off to someone else and go on a boat with Paul to Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey. And in that place, they just go on mission. And just to try to track and see, this is all written in Acts 18. This is a lot that happens in one chapter. But just to think about the decisions that they had to make and building a company and then handing it off to someone else, and then uprooting everything that you know to go onto your next leg of the journey, and not knowing what's going to happen in Ephesus, who's going to be there, what are we going to do, how are we going to eat, where are we going to live? Like, all those things were a part of Priscilla and Aquila's life. And so they get to Ephesus, and they start with Paul building the church there. So now they're church planters and really invested in the move of God. And at one point it says that there was a teacher in Ephesus named Apollos who was a part of their community, and he was teaching, a good teacher, knew a lot about God, but he didn't know the fullness of the gospel and about baptism. So it says that Priscilla and Aquila pulled him aside and began to teach him a better way, a more thorough way in the gospel. So we just see these episodes of Priscilla and Aquila in their practical life, their occupation, their ministry, their engagement with other people. And it's just a really, really interesting thing. There's a couple pieces that I want to highlight. One is that they were able to have a business and be full-time in ministry at the same time. They didn't have to compartmentalize that. So they were able to make money, and they were able to build the kingdom of God at the same time. There may be some people in here today, that is an area in your life that you've been wrestling with, trying to figure out. And I just want you to learn from the masters, Priscilla and Aquila, that that's a possibility, you know, that maybe God's called you to make money to build the church. Maybe God's called you to disciple other people in new ways, to use your influence that you have, to use your connections that you have. To use your mailing list, you know, whatever it is that God has put into your hands, you can do both. Another thing that's really interesting about this writing is that they mention the wife first most of the time. It's Priscilla and Aquila. My wife likes that. We're about to read a scripture, 1 Corinthians 16, where it does mention Aquila first. That's the man. But Priscilla, the wife, is mentioned first the majority of the times that they're mentioned in the Bible. And you might say, well, you know, that's good. Well, honestly, that's kind of a big deal in 2022, and that's 2,000 years later, right? We're 2,000 years later. A lot of times, the man's mentioned first. It's just tradition in our day and time. For that to happen in ancient literature, in a time when, in many of these cultures, women were property and absolutely not equal at all, the Bible is making something very clear that women are equal to men. That's coming from the Bible. That's coming from God. Now, there's some people that will find other scriptures and go like, yeah, but look right here. It says that women should be silent and all, you know. You have to understand the full context of the Word of God and see that it is very obvious that Priscilla was a game changer, okay? Priscilla was a leader. She was strong. She was a businesswoman. She was a teacher. She was an influencer. Come on, ladies, give me an amen out there. Somebody, come on. It's important. All right. 1 Corinthians 16, 19, I feel like, is a pivotal verse today. This is the secret sauce of Priscilla and Aquila's power. Here it comes. The churches here in the province of Asia send greetings in the Lord, as do Aquila and Priscilla and all the others who what? Who gather in their, come on, home. For what? For church meetings. Right? Those of you online, it's a small group pamphlet. They allowed and welcomed their customers, church members, community into their most intimate sphere of their life, into their home. Come into my life. High invitation. Come into my life. Come in. Come see my dirty laundry. Come see it. Come on into my life. I'm going to show you a video here in a minute of Lindsay, whose life has been absolutely 100% transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ in the last 12 months. And a few weeks ago, I came home and she and my wife were sitting on the couch, literally laundry all around them. And I was like, Erica, why is she in the house right now? Why is she sitting in the middle of laundry? And Erica said, Lindsay told me she loves to fold laundry. I said, she can come over every week if she wants to come over every week. But the reason why Lindsay's life has been changed is because of high invitation. Erica's saying, come into my life. Come into my life. Come into my home. Come in to be a part of my surroundings. Priscilla and Aquila invited people into their homes, changed the game, built the church in Ephesus, built the church in Corinth. Then we learn by reading the book of Romans that they actually left Ephesus at some point and went all the way back to Rome and finished their life out in the city of Rome, because there was a new emperor that released that anti-Jewish ruling. And now the Jews are able to go back into Rome. And we're not sure exactly how Priscilla and Aquila's life ended, how they died. Most church historians believe that they were killed in the big fire of 64 AD in Rome. And Paul actually died later that year as well, because I think up to a third of Rome burned due to this fire. And many people blame the Christians. So then after the fire, the Christians were persecuted because they thought that they had started the fire. There was a lot of loss of life. But look at this text, Romans 16 and 3. This is sort of the end. These people are mentioned by Paul at the end of these books. It's interesting. You know, as he's closing these letters out, he's like, okay, I want you to greet these certain people. And look, it says, in fact, they, this is Romans 16:3, in fact, they, this is Priscilla and Aquila, once risked their lives for me. I am thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. All the Gentile churches are thankful for Priscilla and Aquila, this power couple that welcomed people into their home. Now, in our day and time, we're part of America after the Industrial Revolution, which has been great for business, right? You studied history, American history, the Industrial Revolution. A lot of it was Henry Ford when he created his assembly line for the automobile. And then, you know, that changed manufacturing. It changed the world, the economy. Well, what's happened is churches and schools and things like that say, oh, wow, that works for the production of things. It probably works for the production of students or for the production of disciples. And I'm here to tell you today that that's not the way God made us. He didn't make us to be produced like widgets on an assembly line. He produced us to grow like plants. And that takes a certain environment, and that environment are smaller settings. And so Promised Land is a very big church for a city like San Marcos, and we have a lot of influence with a lot of people in this area, and we've, you know, a lot of lives have been changed. But I want to encourage everybody that's here today. You've made it into the big space, which is awesome. There's a lot of important things that happen here on Sunday morning. Make this a commitment. But I'm here to tell you, to really grow in your relationship with God, let's learn from Priscilla and Aquila that we got to go into homes in smaller settings to really get the depth and the strength of God's work in our life. It is in the context of us having coffee together, having a meal together, and really digging deeper into life that we have friendship and we have growth in our life. So what will happen in your home? What 12 people will change your life? Jesus taught the masses. He fed the 5,000. He was in the temple, synagogues, and the areas there of Israel. But the reason we're here 2,000 years later is because he spent the majority of his time with 12 disciples. And one of those disciples betrayed him and died. And so really it's the 11 that then in the book of Acts take what has been downloaded into them from Jesus. And they follow that same model. That's why they were in, it says in Acts, they gathered in homes daily even. And in the temple daily. They made it a commitment. We're gonna worship corporately as a big body, but then we're going to go deeper in these smaller settings. So I want you to really evaluate the 12 closest people in your life over the next week and dig into that. Some of these groups that are meeting will be discussing our sermon today, and so you can really talk and chew on this idea of small groups in your small group. Pastor Randy Phillips was here on Wednesday night, and he preached a fantastic message, and I am literally going to take his preaching points and give them back to you again today. And I'm unapologetically doing that because they're so good. If you watched the UT game yesterday, you saw him front and center. Fox Sports had him doing this. And actually, UT started winning after they showed him. And then they needed to show him one more time. Anyway, your condition is downstream of your community. So you can think about where you are right now. That's your condition. Where are you in life right now? That's your condition. That's your status. That has come from, or it's downstream from, the community of your life. So you can also think about this way. Where do I want to go? What do I want my condition to be 5 years from now? And then I want to surround myself with people, a community that will take me to that place, because your condition is downstream of your community. Think about that. Chew on that a little bit. I am where I am today because of the community in my life. And Erica and I have looked back on some of the seasons of our life that have been the most difficult, and a lot of them revolve around hospital stays. And it's been so mind-boggling to me that I can actually long for moments like that, which it's very strange. Why would you long to be in the hospital? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it was in those moments when my community rallied around us the most, and we felt the most loved and the most supported, and thank God that we had people around us. It began when I was 25 years old. We were in the hospital for our baby to be born. There was literally 50 people in the waiting room talking, hanging out, praying, eating, you know, having a great time. They were just there in the waiting room, and we didn't tell any of them to come. We didn't ask any. We didn't pay anybody. We didn't have to coerce them. There was no social media back then, so it wasn't like, hey, we're at, you know, Breckenridge Hospital, hashtag get here, support us. There was none of that. We just look out there, and there they are. That does not just happen. That happened because 25 years of me being in the same church, 25 years of building relationships with people, 25 years of them changing my diaper, you know, in the nursery, and then seeing me in youth group, and then seeing me in college, and then being with me when I got married, and then being with me when I got the diagnosis of our baby's condition, and then saying, we're going to be with you in the waiting room, right? That happened because of years and years of investing and being a part of a community, so that when the time came that I needed them, I didn't even have to ask. They're just there. They're just there. And so I want to encourage you to get with a community, stick with the community. And I'm sure my dad and mom could tell you many times that they thought, you know what, should we leave this community? I don't necessarily agree with this or that, or that person offended me, or, you know, they took my parking spot, or they sat in my pew, or, you know, I don't like the song they played this week, or, you know, whatever it is that we don't like about community, if you stick with it, they're going to take you where you want to go. Conversely, they'll take you, if you're in the wrong community, they'll take you where you should not go. This is a great lesson for young people, junior high, high school, college students. You're exploring life right now. You're exploring different groups of people to hang out with and trying to figure out, who am I like and who should I hang out with? Look at these two things. You will walk like whoever you walk with. You will walk like whoever you walk with. So if you're walking with a group of people, you're going to start walking like them. This is a funny story. I wish I'd have done this on Wednesday night, but Pastor Randy has massive scoliosis in his back, and he always walks like this. He walks like this. And so literally when I was a kid, I would learn, I wanted to walk like him. And so, that's a literal thing, a literal walking, but you're going to walk spiritually like the people you're walking with, mentally like the people you're walking with, and it shapes your walk, it shapes your gait, your posture, how you're going. Same tastes do not equal same values. These things we're talking about are all the blanks on your little sermon notes. If you say, well, man, this is particularly important for those of you interested in romantic relationships, I tell you this, please evaluate this before you get shot by Cupid's arrow and you're like, oh, we've got to get married. Oh, I just love them so much. But they're going in a different direction. I know, but we like all the same movies and we like all the same food and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Same tastes don't equal same values. Super important. You're one community away from the life that God wants you to live. I love that. You're one community away from the life that God wants you to live. What community could you be a part of that will take you on this purpose-filled journey to fulfilling the plans that God has for your life? I'm here to tell you that it may not be Promised Land, the best fit for you. There's several other communities here in San Marcos with the family, with the Jesus Christian walk that are fantastic. I have many pastor friends in San Marcos. May not be promised land, but find a community and get committed and connected to them, because they're going to be the community that takes you, that ushers you into the life that God wants you to live. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble." Man, walk with the wise and become wise. And there's somebody that said, you probably heard this before, somebody said, you're the average of your five closest friends. Think the five people that you associate with the most, and that's what your character is going to be like. That's what your ambition is going to be like. That's what your spiritual life is going to be like. And so instead of having to like dive deep into your own soul, you can just look around the people that influence you, and you can know that's the direction I'm going in. And if it's a brand new set of relationships that you're in, you can know this is where I'm headed. And so the whole idea to this is that you can actually make a decision to say, I am going to choose to not spend as much time with this person, this group, whatever, because this person or this group is taking me in a direction I don't want to go in. I do want to go over here and be a part of that. That's really what Priscilla and Aquila are teaching us, that discipleship and that intimacy with God comes from who you're surrounding yourself with, who you're letting into your home, and whose home you're going into. That is what's making the difference. And in order for Paul, besides Jesus, the most influential man in the New Testament, he wrote over half of the New Testament himself, for him to say that all the churches thank Priscilla and Aquila, that is a massive endorsement. There had to be profound fruit coming from their life. And it all goes to their flow with people, the movement that they had with people, and that high invitation, come be in my life. So I want to challenge you. There's some of you in here that are apprehensive towards allowing people into your life. I want to encourage you to take the risk. That's the word that is the word of the day, probably. First time I've said it. But really, this all boils down to you thinking, what if this doesn't work? What if I get hurt again? What if these people are weird and I'm in their home and I've got to find a way to escape? I just want to be real with you, okay? Okay, we've all thought that. You can try a group out. If it's weird, let me know, okay? I need to know that. You can be a scout, but take the risk. The main risk is, what if this doesn't work? What if I've wasted my time? What if these people are not who I thought they were? What if they treat me like the last church treated me? And there's been a lot of people hurt. There's been a lot of difficulties, and you've thought, you know what? I'm going to go to Promised Land because it is big and I can hide out. Uh-oh, I know you're out there. There's a lot of people that way, and I understand that hurt. I understand that you've gone through a difficult time, and I want you to know this is a safe place for you to hide out for a while, but man, I don't want you to stay there, because I know you're not going to truly grow in the depth and relationship with God that you need to get into and grow into to make it in this culture, in this world. Right now, the only way that's going to happen is you connecting with people that are going in that direction. So I want to show you this video of Lindsay, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful story. Check this out.
Hey, I'm Lindsay. I have been coming to Promised Land for about a year, and before I even set foot in Promised Land, I I was actually a witch. I practiced witchcraft, and I would, you know, do spells and tarot, try to do everything sort of in my own power, casting spells and whatever, witchiness. And but what ended up happening is once I had my baby, I kind of, you know, if you've ever done that before, it, you know, you kind of come to the end of yourself. And I came to the end of myself. Like, I came to the end of my friends, my family, my, like, everything just broke. Like, I was at this breaking point after I had her. So, you know, day five of that postpartum period, I was, like, in the bottom of myself. And my community was just gone. Like, my community just, you know, abandoned me in that time of need. And I knew that there was something happening at Luminary. There was a Meet the Midwives, and Erica was my midwife, you know, the pastor's wife, you know, over there, Erica. Erica was my midwife, and so I was just like, I just felt this need to go there. And I'm an hour late for this Meet the Midwives, so the Meet the Midwives is over, but I, you know, Erica could tell something was up, and she just, like, offered to pray over me, and I was like, okay, like, sure. My little, you know, my little witchy brain was like, I don't know how to do that, you know, I don't know if I believe in that, I don't know if I trust it or whatever, but it was like my heart was like, please, like, anything. Like, I was just so empty and so at the end of my rope, you know. And so Erica prayed over me, and it was just really powerful. And yeah, you know, it just so happened that night she was starting this Bible study. And so I, like, come to the small group, and we were talking about Elijah, and we were talking about putting people on a pedestal, and how, you know, we're human, and we inherently are flawed humans whenever we put people on pedestals. And so it was like, I was just, like, met with God through Elijah and through that story and through the Bible study. And I kept coming back, and, you know, God just started moving in my life, and he just kept showing up for me, and kept showing up for me, like, with the people that I was meeting. And, like, after that happened, and coming to Promised Land, I felt at home. And it's just, I could have never imagined, like, how much my life would be different and changed in just a year. Now, a year later, I have been baptized. I am helping with the church. Me and Erica are coming together to form our own small group, also at Luminary. And it's just this incredible thing. Like, if you would have told me a year ago that I would be making this video about how God has, like, done a thing in my life, so much so that I'm now helping and wanting to get together with a group of people and just, like, talk about God and talk about, like, how awesome he is with, like, a group of women, like, I would have thought you were crazy. Like, this beautification process over the year has been so incredible, and I feel like a totally different person now. And I don't know if there's anything else I need to say. Also, please make a blooper reel of this event.
Would you stand with me? Isn't that incredible? Real life change is happening, and it can happen in your life. And I want to pray right now. Would you join with me? Let's pray together. Let's pray that you take the ball that is now in your court. It's being passed to you. Now, what do we do with it? I'm praying you have the courage to step out in faith and take that next step. And there may be a few of you in here that are just on the outside looking in, and you're wanting to be a part of a community, you're wanting a part of that life-changing experience, but you're not even sure how to start. Well, it all begins as we surrender to him, as we surrender to God. And it will be in the context of a small group that you'll really learn what that means, to surrender. So you don't have to have it all figured out and mapped out and analyzed. Instead, you just open yourself and surrender to a God that is loving and beautiful and awesome and all-powerful. And as we declared during our communion segment, Jesus Christ already did the work for you to be in this family and to grow in this relationship. And we're saying yes to Him right now. So would you just join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we say yes to You right now. I say yes to You right now. I open my heart to You and my mind to You. And I make myself available to You. Please come, be with me. I welcome You into my existence. I welcome You into every part of my life. I recognize right now that I need You, that I am broken, that I'm hurt, and that I've made mistakes, and I need forgiveness. So I recognize You, Jesus, as my Savior. I declare You as Lord of my life and King of my life. I'm ready to walk with You from this day forward. And now I want to pray with all the folks, everybody in here. Let's just say, Lord, I'm ready to move in discipleship. I'm ready to move in relationship with other people. God, put people in my path that can help me. Lord, put me in other people's path to help them. May we grow together in relationship with You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to